Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Hack the Entrepreneur. I am so glad that you decided to join me again. My name is John Naster, but you can call me Johnny. Today's guest has spent her entire life in creative entrepreneurship. As a musician, she has toured the world making a personal connection with various audiences through her voice, storytelling, and humor, which we get to hear a lot of today. Her musical accomplishments include international tours, live television performances, and thousands of CDs sold worldwide. She has also worked on the marketing teams of several multi-million dollar corporations. My guest is passionate about internet entrepreneurship and is a much sought-after launch strategist. Now, let's hack Faraday Caesar. I don't know how I keep getting Canadians on the show, but it's amazing and I love it. So, Faraday, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. It's good to hang out with a fellow Canadian. There's not that many out of us in the podcasting online world.
I know, and I just, they seem to keep coming up to me, and it's good. I love it. So let's see what we can do. Mm. Faraday, as an entrepreneur, what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
Well, John, I think it's that I'm willing to fail a lot. Excellent. So I really believe in trying things, not being perfect. And I have failed a lot in the past and I struggled a lot and I just developed a lot of persistence over time. And so I realized that a big killer earlier in my entrepreneurial career was when I was kept waiting for things to be perfect or for me to be ready. And then, you know, suddenly 4 years would go by. And so now I just really believe that it's better to be done than to be perfect, which of course is very different than my husband's belief. he grew up with the idea, if you're going to do something, you should do it right the first time. Whereas I'm like, it's better for it to be done than for it to be perfect. It's just, so of course opposites attract.
Exactly. And so with that better to be done than to be perfect, do you do that with the idea that you can eventually make it or go further to attain perfection? Or is it just done, move on to the next thing and go?
Well, I'm a little bit of a creative soul. So I am a little bit of like, done, let's move on. Like, I'm not somebody who actually pursues perfection, or even, I wouldn't even say I pursue excellence, because I believe that what is excellent is, like, I believe that mistakes make us fascinating. So before I'm a launch strategist now, an online launch strategist, but I was a musician for 15 years and I'm still a musician. And I just see that all the time on stage. You know, as musicians, we practice and we perfect and then we get on stage and then something wrong happens. And actually, if you like laugh about it and are graceful about it, the audience loves it. Like, they cheer for when I accidentally fall off the stage or fall off, you know, forget my words, or, and you make it funny, and then it actually makes you fascinating. So obviously there's things I do because, you know, like I have staff members who like check my spelling and things like that, just to pursue like a level of, or there's another concept there that's called, have you ever heard of the concept or the Japanese concept, wabi-sabi?
No.
So basically, in like Japanese pottery, if they put a pot into the kiln, a beautiful pot, and then it breaks, they will take it out and then they'll fill that crack with gold, because the imperfection is what makes that pot beautiful and perfect. So I kind of have that. That's my mindset about things, about imperfect is the perfect. So, and it's life form and stuff. So yeah, so I don't try and strive for perfectionism, because I do believe in this wabi-sabi, that this earthen mistakes is what makes things exciting and fascinating. And it's a little bit weird.
That's cool. No, that's cool. Wabi-sabi. I have a friend who's like really, really, really into Japan. He has a business about Japan travel, and I was talking to him last night on Skype, and he's in Tokyo right now, and And I'm surprised I haven't heard of this yet. So I'm going to make sure he's heard of it because that's cool. I like that.
So yes, so my stepdad is about 64. And in Japanese pottery careers, that's around the time they start making it. So he's just holding up out hope. He's been a potter since the dawn of time, John. And so he's just like, this is the time, Faraday. This is what I'm going to make it. So
it's impressive.
It is very impressive.
So there's, you keep mentioning being a musician.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to be a very big part of your life. And then you've become an entrepreneur. And it's one thing, there seems to be a real correlation between musicians and entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
Yet there's also lots of musicians or artists have a hard time taking the step to entrepreneurship and finding it and being like congruent with like their artistic self and also their entrepreneurial self and like trying to make money from their art. But mm-hmm. you have, in a country like Canada, which is super hard. I was going to say I'm a musician, but I'm a drummer. Mm-hmm. And
you I've are traveled, a musician. It's okay.
Yeah, I've traveled the country in like punk rock bands since I was like 16 years old. And it's super hard to make a living in this country. Right?
Oh, God.
And not that I ever tried actually to make a total living, but I mean, I did. I lived out of a van for a couple of years and we toured and it was fun, right? How did you do that? How did you make that transformation from artist, musician to entrepreneur and being cool with it in your own way?
Well, I mean, so firstly, I think even when I was very young, because my dad is a musician, I kind of recognized that with just the changing in the music industry, that I had to really understand business in order to have a successful career. And you're right. I mean, touring in Canada is ridiculous. And so I was touring a lot in the States, and that's how I was starting kind of making my living. And then I think I kind of had to embrace, I don't know if you've ever heard this, that the dreams we have as children are not the dreams we have for ourselves as we're adults. And it took me a long time to figure out what the dream of my adult life could be.
All right, Faraday, you've moved from musician to an entrepreneur online and creating a business even out of being a musician. There seems to be a time in every entrepreneur's life, so probably in yours too, when they realize that they either have this calling to make something or to create the music that you wanted to make, but also make a business out of it. And they also realize that they probably can't work for somebody else. Can you tell me about when this happened for you?
Oh, that's interesting. Well, I definitely, can't work for other people. Oh, so true. I've had like last I counted, which was many years ago, I had over 40 jobs. Now, I'd never been fired from any of them. It's just that I like worked many. And then also I was just like, I'm bored. I need to leave. So I think there was that element of boredom. And then when I had a great job in advertising that I really enjoyed, it was for 2 years. It helped me save up for a record. It taught me so much. But I really found that like every evening and weekend I was in the fetal position. Like I just don't have the emotional strength to go to work 8 to 5. And I think it's just because I just can't be around that many people with all their emotions. I mean, part of being an artist or a musician is sometimes you just have to be very sensitive. You train yourself to be very sensitive to emotions, to be able to write about them and to really respond to others so you can play with them. And so in the regular work environment, this makes me just too tender. And not that like people are mean, it's just like they have their own emotions. And I'm like, I just can't take it. So I definitely found that. I was like, well, you know, I'd be on the road and I'd be like, I don't think this is it. I love performing, but you know, I don't want to raise my children on a bus if I happen to have children. And I don't even really like meeting a lot of people. So this is maybe not the right fit for me, but I couldn't. But then I was like, yeah, but what are you going to work for somebody else? And I was like, well, that's definitely not going to happen because I can't fit in the rest of the world. And then I thought, oh, should I go back to school? And I was like, yeah, maybe I should go back to school and study a bit business. And I was, but why? To start my own business. So why don't I just skip going to school for 4 years and just start my own business again?
It seems to be the default, doesn't it? I don't know what to do, so maybe I should just go back to school. And then I'm interested in business. Why don't I take business? And yeah, that's my first thing too is, well, why would I go to school for 4 years to learn from a teacher who hasn't started a business, but read a bunch of business books? It's like, I can read business books and there's like endless information about it out there now for free.
Yeah.
And you really just got to get into the trenches, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of what I'd learned as a musician is really applicable in the entrepreneurship world. I mean, I thought at first it'd be just like so easy, but there was definitely a steep learning curve, especially with having an online career. But now after like the first 18 months, now it's starting to, those lessons I learned for the last 15 years are starting to be fruitful. But the first year it was definitely, oh, this is all brand new.
It is. And I'm sure it'll continue to be that, right?
Absolutely.
So a big thing right now is the whole 80-20 rule. Everybody seems to talk about it, especially with work. So speaking of terms of work, and then they say, do what you're good at and then delegate or outsource the rest. Mm. So can you tell me what you are not good at?
Oh, yeah. Really anything with like a ton of details I have a hard time with. So because I'm a big picture thinker, I don't really, like I said, I don't really care how we're going to get there, just as long as we get there, you know, done is better than perfect. But, you know, not everybody shares that same belief system. So I'm not very great at the details. I'm a pretty good writer, but I'm not but I have somebody come in and do it so that people can actually make sense of what I of what I was saying. Sometimes I get a role at like 9 o'clock at night and then my assistant's like, I do not know what you were on when you were writing this, but this is wild. So what else am I not good at? I'm not that great with the visual stuff, so I think that's really helpful when you get somebody else involved. I'm actually one of those unusual women who's colorblind. So in general, dressing myself is a challenge. I have to go to my husband being like, does this work? I'm not sure. Luckily, he's got great style. So he's like, yeah. Or if he doesn't like a shirt, he's like, get over it. That looks fabulous.
As a launch strategist, so you help other people and businesses and companies launch products, ideas, whatever it could be, right?
How, yeah, particularly online. They particularly launch online. Yeah.
And so they also have issues that things they're not good with, or else maybe they are hyper into perfection. How do you deal with that when you are big picture and they're very like minuscule, but this isn't right, or this needs to be dotted, this I still, and this, we can't launch until it's perfect. How do you get them through that and make them feel comfortable with it?
Well, luckily, I tend not to attract perfectionists. That's something like I actually keep a few spelling mistakes in my site so that people who are really perfectionists don't come to me because they're looking for a productivity specialist. And I'm just like, I'm more of a creativity outside the box thinker. If you want to get noticed, you come to me. If you want to get it done perfectly, you go to, there's a fantastic people out there who are very good at those things. But when people come to me, a big part of it is that they are overwhelmed with how much is to do. And I think, you know what, John, I think it's has a lot to do with how we think and how you're trained to think as a musician, and other people too. But I think of launching as kind of like a starburst way of thinking, right? You have to have all sorts of things going on at the same time, right? You've got your social media, you've got your emails, there's the actual product creation, there's staff, who's going to help you, who's going to help promote. That's not a linear way of executing. It's definitely a starburst that just like rotates until it launches. So that's one of the things I think of that I provide for my clients is that I try and take what is actually a non-linear project and make it linear for them so that they can walk through it without feeling like every time they tug on the yarn, an entire nest falls on top of their head.
Nice. Yeah. Can you tell me about then when one of these launches and you try and linearly like lay it out for them in a linear way, but tell me about one time when this launch didn't go the way you wanted it to and your client was just like freaking out about it.
Well, I really haven't had anybody freaking out on me. I just do not bring in people like that. I'm like, I get myself some like nice girls who are like maybe slightly codependent, so they won't even say if they're angry. And but you know, sometimes things don't go as planned, you know. I did have one where we launched together and she actually sold nothing, which was just like really, really upsetting, right? You know, it's a big investment. She invested in me and then a variety of other tools. Right. And her experience, what her learning was, is that her list wasn't as qualified and genuine as she thought it was. She realized that a lot of her list was actually like Middle Eastern. And while they were interested in what she had to say, they weren't interested in purchasing in the way that she had. So that was really hard. And it was hard on me too, because obviously every single client I try and like bend over backwards to make sure that their launch is the most successful ever. And then it's like, well, can't use that testimonial. All right.
It's amazing that you put like spelling mistakes. I've never heard of this. Put spelling mistakes onto your site to just weed out the perfectionists.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I actually took this. Well, it's kind of, there's this girl I really admire. Her name is Mai Carles and she runs a HeartMade blog, and she's actually the person who showed me that running a business online, you can actually be yourself. She's the one who kind of inspired me to take this leap and like be myself online, because I thought that if I ran a business, I'd have to be a very muted version of myself. I couldn't take that part of performance that I love and be that online. I just didn't think business people would go for it. But that's what she said. Sometimes it's hard to find exactly who you want, like, you know, your target market, your ideal client avatar. So sometimes it's easier just to take who you don't want and make sure you repel them in all ways. Actually, I was talking to somebody the other day and I was like, you're not niching, you're repelling. Just repel. And the people who will naturally see that that's a nice fit, right? So I don't take people who are, I don't seem to attract people who are perfectionistic or like controlling, right? Because the thing about launching is that you really have no control. It's really a test. It's really a jump. It's really all hands on board. You've done everything you can, and now you just have to take the leap, and you have no idea what's going to happen. And it could be awesome, and it could be terrible. And the sign of the people that I really admire is when they don't meet their goal. Maybe they meet it halfway, but they still find a way to flip it and see it in a positive way, because launching is a journey. It's not like something you do just once. So they'll see things like, okay, well, I'm really glad I learned. I had no idea I had to hustle as much as I do. That's what you taught me. And so now going forward, they continue to launch without me. They don't need me every time. But they know the level of hustle that's involved. So yeah, I love the people I work with because they have a positive, you know, a winning mindset.
Yeah. I've never thought of trying to repel people rather than everybody talks about like niche, find your niche, find your audience, find your perfect avatar. And I mean, it's something I think even struggling with in this podcast, right? I mean, it created a person that I thought it was, and I'm actually learning in the last, say, six months to a year in my own just business and just personally that I don't need to be that certain business person that I thought I had to be. Mm-hmm. The more I make a point now of mentioning in everything I'm in that I'm obsessed with punk rock and I play drums in a band still like two or three times, because I don't know. It's weird. We get into these things and we think that we have to be a certain way, right? And then we have to find this certain market, and then it's all the whole branding. And well, how do you match that thing? And it's like, how about you just get rid of the people that really don't want part of you? There's lots of people that would just like are completely opposed to what I do. And
yeah,
I find it's true. It gets better. Like you personally get better and your business gets better as you just get rid of those people.
Yeah.
And
also, I mean, if I worked with those kinds of people, like, they would not be pleased with me, my work. And I would hate working with them. You know, there's no reason we should work together. They're fine entrepreneurs and I'm great. But we should, you know, it's kind of yeah, it's kind of like dating. You're awesome, I'm awesome, but like, let's never talk again. You know? Yeah.
Have you ever wrote a song to break up with them? I know you've wrote a song about firing clients.
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine dating you and they're just like, okay, actually, John, I've got this song for you today. It's like, oh my God, she wrote me a song.
No, I haven't. Really writing funny songs about business is something that's kind of just happened like recently, but you know what? I'm taking requests. I'm taking ideas from people. So I'll write that. That's really cool. Yeah. You know what? I think, you know, when we talk about repelling people, and I'm not sure if you find this, John, but this is what I find, is that I am always surprised by how me I can be. Right. So I think I'll be being myself, but I'll be like a little bit more muted. Right. So I was being myself and I was like, oh, I wrote this really funny ukulele song. Well, I have no idea how it contributes to my business at all, but I'm just going to throw it out there. And then people loved it. And I was like, oh, like I can be that part of me. Oh, that's really interesting. Or one of my most popular newsletters, I had no idea what I was going to write about. So I wrote about my cat being insane and sitting on the ceiling on some of my pipes. And people thought it was amazing. And I thought, really? Really? I can be that me? Like, I'm so surprised, right? So I'm sure it's the same with yourself. Like, oh, I can talk about this punk rock thing? And people really get it? Okay. Well, yeah. And I'm still drumming.
Yeah, and if they don't...
Living the dream.
Living the dream. Yeah, but And it's interesting because then you become more and more yourself, it seems, every day, because you realize that people actually want that. And if I would have realized this sooner, I don't even know. Like, it's something I'm really literally just living through right now and becoming happier with my business and happier with myself as I do it. And it's amazing. But I wish I would have realized it sooner. I wish I would have went into it. And maybe it's because when I started, like, you're reading, maybe I'm reading all the wrong stuff at that time from all the wrong people who are like, now I look at that stuff and I'm just like, oh my God, this stuff's such crap. Like, these people online just trying to teach you how to start businesses. And it's just like, oh my God, what a nightmare. But I don't know. I think it's beneficial if you could learn that earlier on. And I think you said it better than I've heard it, which is learn to repel, not attract your niche.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's just like, it's kind of, well, it is like dating, right? Like, you know, I kind of think, you know, that person who like can't get a date and they're like kind of a mess because they kept trying to be everything to everybody, right? Like, they're like, you like boating? So do I. You like, you know, butchering meat? So do I, you know, and then they can never find a real date. But once they start being themselves, the person that, you know, you already love, like that friend, then they actually attract the person that they like once they start truly being themselves, and they start saying no to the people that are just, they're like, no, I really don't like voting.
Yeah. And with the dating thing, I actually saw somebody on Twitter yesterday, I think it was, he was like, he's like, you're on a dating site looking for someone. Why is every single person on a dating site, their favorite hobby is long walks on the beach at night? It's like, pick something less friggin' boring, would you? Like, I mean, it's just so funny. Beaches? It's like, what?
Where are these beaches in Thunder Bay?
Exactly. Like, it's like long walks on the beach at night. It's like, I don't know. Like, there's people who are happily in relationships and it's not like, oh, honey, tonight we should go for a long walk on the beach. It's like, come on. Like,
I like to watch lots of Netflix of really terrible romantic comedies and eat a lot of popcorn and then go to bed at 9. How does that sound to you? It sounds like a pretty amazing evening to me.
Exactly. If you're on a dating site looking for a date, try and repel, I guess, is the idea. Not absolutely. Try and, well, maybe this person will also like long walks, or they'll have said that because they read it on everybody else's bio. But yeah, that's great. So, Faraday, if we were sitting here a year from now celebrating what an amazing, awesome year this has been for you in the past 12 months, what did you accomplish?
Wow, that's a really great question. Oh.
From dating to that.
From dating to the what do you accomplish here? So funny. I'm not sure about you, John. Do you have a hard time setting goals? I have a hard time setting goals because I had this dream of being a musician for so long, and then it's kind of new to not have that dream. That so much I'm like, I'm not sure. Like, I'm trying to have a baby, you know? I'm like, to me, that would be like, in 12 months if I had a baby, I was like, bam, best accomplishment ever. Because I think, you know, business changes. I never know what's coming around the corner. I mean, I got a cool website redesign happening, so I could probably celebrate that. A sweet vacation in somewhere warm. I'm going to try and be John. I'm going to try and be you, like be somewhere warm in the winter. I'm really just trying to position myself for this launch strategy and being myself and be somebody who's known for like a very authentic voice. Oh, authentic, I know. Nobody likes that word, but what else can you use? There's so little words for authentic. I don't know. I like genuine. That's a really good one. Genuine. Another one. You know what I love about being a launch strategist is that I think my superpower is being encouraging of others. So really, it's just an excuse to be encouraging. So if in 12 months I'm like, you know what? I encourage the pants off of like 100 people. I'd be like, wow, yes, I have lived my life's mission.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. I like that. All right, Faraday, this has been a lot of fun.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I wish you the best of luck in your launch strategy-ing. And you're still a musician, right?
I sure am. I still play with a group called Rosie and the Riveters. So if we come through Thunder Bay soon, you should
drop me an email. I'll be there.
Yeah, I will. Awesome. Okay. All right.
Thank you very much.
Sounds great. Thank you so much.
Take care. That was a lot of fun. If you couldn't tell, this was one of my earlier interviews. So there was a little, I wasn't quite up to my standards I like to hold myself to now. But it was a lot of fun. And I think that I know for a fact that she's a really smart lady and she has some good ideas. And I love her just lack of not wanting to find perfection. I think that's a really good thing for everyone to take in. Like, you can't find this perfection anyways. Always try and be as good as you can possibly, but don't let it hold you up because you're striving for perfection. Sometimes you just got to do it, right? But you know what my favorite part was? Maybe you do. Did you hear it? I heard it. Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
But that's what she said. Sometimes it's hard to find exactly who you want, like, you know, your target market, your ideal client avatar. So sometimes it's easier just to take who you don't want and make sure you repel them in all ways. Actually, I was talking to somebody the other day and I was like, you're not niching, you're repelling.
And that's the hack. Beautifully said, Faraday. Thank you. You could actually hear me laughing in the background because as she was saying it, I've never heard that before. And we've all heard over and over and over to find your niche or find your tribe or whatever. And it's like, here's an interesting way to do it. Actually, just try and pull out the people that you're repelling. And it's so much easier. She's completely transformed the way I look at this. Since I talked to Faraday a couple, I think it was about two and a half, 3 months ago at this point. And it's just, you're not niching, you're repelling. Beautifully said. Thank you so much for that, Faraday. I really appreciate it. So that's it, guys. Thank you so, so much. You know how much I appreciate it. We're at like 152 five-star reviews on iTunes. You guys are absolutely amazing. I go there every day and I can't believe you guys are all there saying such amazing things, and I so appreciate it. If you haven't yet, please look for us on iTunes or go to hacktheentrepreneur.com/iTunes. It'll take you right to the page. Click rating and review. Leave me an honest rating and leave me a review if you want. If you do leave me a review and you are on Twitter, which you should be because Twitter's amazing, you should leave your Twitter handle, your @, and your name because I can't respond to you on iTunes itself. But if you do that, I would love to be able to go on to Twitter. Thank you and have a chat with you. So please do that. It's been fun, guys. Thank you so much for everything. Until next time, keep hacking the entrepreneur.